All you have has been good to us, and sometimes I act just like them. I get stiff-necked. I'm going to do it. What about me? Lord, Christians can't have any fun. And we do exactly this. Here's why. Listen to me. You ready? Rules, statutes, precepts, what God wants us to do without a relationship only brings rebellion. Don't step on the grass. Well, they can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Is not that the attitude that the world has today? You can't tell me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get mine. All of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Come on. For men will be lovers of self. I'll do what I want to do. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of In Christ Radio. Last time, we learned that prayer begins with worship. Today, the people continue their prayer by looking back over Israel's history. And one truth becomes impossible to miss. God has always been good. Today's message covers chapter 9, verses 7 through 30 with the title, The Goodness of God. As they recount the story of Abraham, the Exodus, Mount Sinai, the wilderness, and the Promised Land, they also remembered something painful. Every act of God's goodness was often followed by human rebellion. God rescued them, they complained. God provided, they doubted. God forgave, they wandered again. Yet every time they returned, they found the same faithful God waiting with mercy. Nehemiah isn't simply teaching history. He's reminding the people that the God who was faithful yesterday is still faithful today. And God's goodness isn't based on our performance. It flows from His unchanging character. Our memory is often short when it comes to God's blessing. Gratitude grows when we intentionally remember all that He has done. So today, let's ask ourselves, what blessing from God have you allowed to become so familiar that you've forgotten to thank Him for it? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 7 through 30 with today's lesson, The Goodness of God.
Your attention, please. Look, let's just break down this prayer real quick. Notice the first part of the prayer is this. You are the Lord God. Anytime we start prayer, guys, you can see it starts with an acknowledgement of who God is. That's prayer. Oftentimes you'll hear people pray and we'll go straight into the ask. Lord God, gimme, 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 hallelujah. No. Lord, you are God. And then pause, let that sink in. It says, man, you are the Lord, you are God. And then he says this, notice God's beautiful attributes. You promised this land to Abraham and his descendants. And he goes, and now here we are. Notice, guys, and this is going to be so beautiful for application. You got to grasp this and take this home. The promise of God here is indeed true. He promised Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And here we see it's done. You go, okay, well, what can I take home? What can I put in my pocket and take home? Here it is. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's powerful and it's life-changing. The promises of God start in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, when it tells us that all scripture in the Bible is inspired by God. The inspiration of God. It's everything. The promises of God is God. Can you imagine? Close your eyes for a second. Think of the God of the universe. He's governing the universe, not just the world, the universe. And everything he said, his promises are yes and amen. They're true. His promises for you are true. This is what we have, the Word of God. So my question to you, dear church, are you standing on the promises of God today? Are you standing on those promises? You go, Ben, give me an example. Give me an example. Wonderful. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living just so you can see. And it says, because of his glory and excellence, he's given us a great and precious promises. These are the promises that are what? Enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. What a great promise. What a great promise. Guys, this is a great promise for you to recognize. This is a great promise for you to memorize. Because of his glory and his excellence, he's giving us great and precious promises. These are promises. What are they, Lord? They enable you to share in his divine nature. And we can escape the world's corruption. Oh, well, I'm just human. Well, the word of God here says, man, you've got the Holy Spirit. You've got help. An Old Testament promise. Old Testament promise. Isaiah chapter 40, 29 through 31. And he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. How about that? He gives power to the weak and strength. That's us. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What a great promise. What a great promise. In the Old Testament, Isaiah said, listen, he gives power to the weak. And everybody goes, amen, that's me. There are times I feel weak and I feel powerless and I don't have any strength. And he says, but the youth, even the youth are going to feel just exhausted. He goes, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who trust in the Lord. You see, in the first part of this promise, what does God say? He says, here's what I promised Abram, and it's come to pass. What has he promised you? If God tells us in 2 Peter, and God tells us in Isaiah that those who trust in the Lord will find strength, they're going to soar high on wings like eagles. Are we standing on that promise? Are we standing? Lord, this is what you said. You're going to tell us we're going to run and not grow faint. We're not going to grow weary. They're going to walk and not faint. What a great promise. What a great promise. That's how verse 7 starts out, guys. This is what he says. And then he goes on in verse 9, part of the prayer. Remember verse 9, he says, I saw the affliction of your fathers in Egypt. You saw and heard their cry by the Red Sea. You showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants, and against all the people of his land. For you knew that they had acted proudly against them. And so you made a name for yourself as it is to this day. And you divided the sea before them so that they went through in the midst of the sea in the dry land. And their persecutors you threw into the deep, a stone into a mighty waters. Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road in which they should travel. Now, we're going to go on in verse 13, but just take a look at this, guys. Go to your Bibles. Look in verse 9 all the way to verse 12. This is a prayer. This is a prayer. And he's praying back the history, back to the God. God, this is who you are. This is who you are. Oh, church, you got to grasp this. It's so important that you carry and you use and you have just this journal, this beautiful journal that you have that you can just record the promises of God answered to you. And then you can go back just like that and say, God, I remember. I remember 2 years ago, I was praying this and you answered with a resounding yes. And this is how you answered. Lord, do that again. And it's so important. Why? Listen to me, church, because we're so forgetful, aren't we? God does something amazing and it's like, yeah, well, what are you going to do today, God? And it's like, no, I want to go back because this is exactly what Nehemiah is doing in this prayer. Lord, you saw the affliction of our father. You were there. And he says, look what you did. You divided the Red Sea. Remind me what God has done in your life. Remind you what God has done in your life. You see, it's a testimony for a reason. It's a testimony so you remember, oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. And I remember you took me through deep waters, but God, you were faithful. And I remember that I felt like I was up to my neck, but you were still there, Lord. I remember. And then all of a sudden, Lord, you parted the Red Sea of my heart. And I saw that. What has God done in your life that you can remember as you pray back to him? And then think about this. He's praying this. This is so amazing. He's praying this. Think about the children of Israel for just a second, guys. Think about the children of Israel. Why? Because he says, moreover, you led them, the children of Israel, by day with a cloudy pillar. Now, so you and I at first read, we're just like, okay, so God led children. Oh, follow the cloud. But you got to remember that they're in the desert. It was hot. And this beautiful cloud of glory just protected them from the sun and the heat. But you know what happens in the desert once the sun goes down? It gets brutally cold. So what does God do? He says, by night, there was a pillar of fire. Can you imagine the greatest, glorious bonfire? You're like, you're not hot. You're not sweating. You're not like, oh my gosh. And you're not freezing because God is taking care of you. This is what he's saying. He says, and not only that, but you gave them the light on the road. You showed them which way to go. This is who God is. And here's the thing. Listen to me. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if this same God took care of Israel, this same God showed him, protected him, loved him, guided him, what's he doing for you? It's the same God. It's the same God. It goes on in his prayer. Look at verse 13. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. And you gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. And you made known to them your holy Sabbath. And you commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant. You gave them bread from heaven for their hunger and brought them water out of the rock for their thirst. And you told them to go possess the land which you had sworn to give them. Notice this prayer. This is part of all of Israel's history. Hey, do you remember when they were in Mount Sinai? Do you remember when you were there? God spoke to you. God spoke to you. And remember what he did. Through Moses, he gave ordinances, laws, and statutes and commandments. He gave you precepts and statutes by law. Think about this. Take a step back. When did God speak to you? As I was going to sleep last night, I was praying. This is a true story. I was praying. And I was reminded of when God really, really spoke to me. When he spoke to me of the dream that I had a couple of times of me in the back of a truck, the bed down, preaching the gospel. I just remember thinking as I was drifting off, go, Lord, I want that again. I understand. We hear God's word here. We read it and we hear it. I get that. Oh, but there are times when the Lord just, he just moves so mightily, speaks through us, through somebody else, a dream, just some encouragement. I love that we can get in God's word and be encouraged in God's word. I love that we can pick up our guitar and worship by ourselves. I love that we can come and we can sing unto the Lord together and we have the words on the backstage. But sometimes, Lord, would you just speak to me? And then he reminds the Lord in prayer, look at this. And you gave them bread from heaven for their hunger. God, he provided for them. He provided for them. And he says, and do you remember the rock incident? Do you remember? And I love the fact that he's not going, oh, Lord, and all we did is complain, because that's all they were doing. We're thirsty. We don't have any water. We're all going to die. Let's go back to Egypt. God's like, no, do you remember? Here's the thing. Lord, you brought them water out of the rock. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? You and I, all we have is YouTube videos of what the rock looked like and how it split. But that rock just brought forth living water. This amazing where do you get rock out of the water? That's impossible. Oh, but it's possible with God. Think about it. Telling your kids for generations and generations, you don't understand. When your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids start to complain, Grandpa, I'm thirsty. Don't worry, God's going to take care of us. He always has. How do you know, Grandpa? Oh, because I remember we were praying and we weren't very good Christians. We weren't very good believers. And we were complaining about water. And Moses went up there and next thing I know, the rock split in water. And we had plenty to drink. We could feed our livestock. We had plenty. God provided. And not only that, but you told us to go possess the land. A land which you have sworn to give them. Think about this prayer, guys. Think about our prayer life. Lord, thank you for your providence. Thank you. I don't want to be anemic in prayer anymore. I don't want to be just the... Blah, 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 blah. I want to acknowledge God and the confession to come out, God, and just the thanksgiving. Lord, you've done all of this. Think about this. We talked about revival. And we want revival in our nation, but more importantly, we want God to revive us. And I told you how we do it, right? you draw a circle on the ground, you step in that circle, and you say, God, revive everything in the circle. It starts right here. And but I want you to see something, man. Watch this. A sure sign of revival, guys, following the brokenness of heart, following, remember, they're crying, they're confessing their sin. They're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I've gotten too cozy in the world. I didn't realize that I wasn't even, oh my goodness. And so they're repenting and they're confessing. And think about this, a sure sign of revival is a reflection on the goodness of God. When our pride is cast down and our hearts are humbled before the living God, and we can begin to see him for who he is. And when we see that, we know how good he is. This is all that God's done for them. What a beautiful reminder. Now in verses 16 and 17, we're going to see the sinful response to man's to God's goodness. Think about this. Look at this. Verse 16 says, but they and our who? Fathers acted proudly. They hardened their necks and they didn't heed your commandments. Verse 17, they refused to obey and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. And you can almost hear the wah, wah. Why? Man, we were doing so good. Our prayers were so good. God, you are amazing. You're wonderful. Look what you've done. You've taken us out of Egypt. You passed us. You opened the water. This was a miracle. We walked on dry land. And he said, but you know what? You know what our response was? A horrible response, Israel, to the great and the good work of God on the behalf. God had been so good to Israel. It says, but they and our forefathers acted proudly. In other words, our sin is bad enough, but consider we sin against God who has only treated us well is far, far worse. Isn't this a lesson for tonight? You're thinking, you're just like, wow, this is their confession. God, all you have, come on, church, all you have has been good to us. And sometimes I act just like them. I get stiff-necked. I'm going to do it. What about me? Lord, Christians can't have any fun. And we do exactly this. Here's the statutes. Here's the precepts. Here's why. Listen to me. You ready? Rules, statutes, precepts, what God wants us to do without a relationship only brings rebellion. Don't step on the grass. Well, they can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Is not that the attitude that the world has today? You can't tell me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to get mine. All of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Come on. For men will be lovers of self. I'll do what I want to do. And again, but here's the thing. Rules without a relationship brings rebellion. You automatically push back. Automatically. I wish I could illustrate it this way. Let me see if I can paint this picture, if I can do this. And this would be the truth. If I ask Pastor Soph, Pastor Soph's a buff guy. He's just strong. I know that. If I have Pastor Soph to come over here and I said, Pastor Soph, you don't know what I'm doing. Now stay with me. Picture this in your mind. And I'm going to walk with Soph this way. And I just say, Soph, walk with me. Soph would just walk with me. Okay? He would walk from here. Not knowing what I'm doing, he'd walk over there and I say, Soph, turn around, walk back. He would do that. He loves me. We have a relationship. If I turn around and I said, Soph, put your fist like this. Put your fist. And he goes, okay. And I turned around and I got in this position and I started to push like this. You know what he's going to do? Instantly, he's going to push back without even saying a word. That's the natural response. How come before he's walking with me, but the moment we do this, and that's exactly what happens. I hope I painted that picture, but you know that's what's happening. What's happening is immediately, as soon as I have him put his fist up, I get in this position, and I start to push on him a little bit. He's not going to go, well, I thought we were walking. What are you doing? He's going to push. You guys know this. That's our human nature with God. God goes, hey, here's the thing. I've got a great path for you. It's going to be so beautiful. I promise. You're going to take care of this. It's going to be so good. It's going to be good for your marriage. It's going to be good for your walk. And then all of a sudden, we don't like what he says. What do? We bow up right away and we want to push back. Well, wait a minute. And this is exactly, it's like they rebelled. Rules without a relationship. A relationship without rules is chaos. You go, I got a relationship with Jesus. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to. No, no, no. It just brings chaos. So what are we saying? We got to find the balance. You got to find the balance. I want you to know in our text tonight, church, the actions of those who acted proudly against God and his goodness. You go, what were they? The Bible says they were hardened their necks. You go, what does that mean? They were stubborn. They were stubborn. That is exactly what they want. Number two, they refused to obey. There's no, 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 no. They're persisted in disobedience even after many admonitions and invitations to repentance. And number three, they were not mindful of your wonders. You know what was that? Look, guys, listen. They purposed to forget all that God had done for them. Take a moment tonight. Take a moment real quick, guys, in your heart and in your mind. Remember all the goodness of God, all that he's done for you. Remember. Think, meditate on that. Lord, you're so good. I don't deserve any of this. Lord, I'll tell you what a third sign of revival is. You can jot this down. Recognition of our own sinfulness. Let's be honest. I'm not clean. You're not clean. And we try to come in and no, no, no. How about this? How about we humbly seek God and see his goodness and praise him for who he is, and understanding he is the one that cleanses us. He is the one that brings us to that next level. There is nothing that we have done. Oh yeah, Pastor, I've been a good Christian for 45. No, 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 no. That's not going to bring revival. Look at verse 17. But you are God, ready to pardon. Look at that verse. You are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. Guys, underline verse 17 in your Bibles. This is such a great verse. You're God. Let's be honest. You have every right, Lord, to toast us. You have every right. Bzz, toast. But you don't, because you're pure love and you're ready to pardon. Just come to me, he says, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in kindness. Notice verse 18, even when they made a molded calf for themselves and said, this is your God that brought you out of Egypt and worked great provocations. Yet in your manifold mercies, you did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not part from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them the light in which way they should go. You also gave your good spirit, notice it's capitalized, here's the Holy Spirit, to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Wow. Wow. This is a prayer. He's praying back to God. But you, God, you're ready to pardon. God's gracious answer to the rebellion of Israel was glorious. Why? The Bible says he was ready to pardon. Is especially wonderful. Why? Because it indicates that there's nothing keeping God from pardoning us except our refusal to come through him through Jesus. Our refusal. This is what's holding back our city. People are refusing to come to God through Jesus. No, no, I don't need that. I'm okay. God is ready to pardon. In Christ.
That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah. how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.